"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. We're live on the radio from 1 till 4, and after 4 o'clock, what did you miss, huh? If you missed something, you go to the podcast, John and Ken on demand on the iHeart app.
All right, well, we're going to get right into it because we have a special interview. Over the weekend, news came out that the Unabomber is dead. Remember that story? Between 1978 and 1995, someone was mailing bombs to people around the country. When they finally caught up with him, he was identified as Ted Kaczynski, the man who lived in a sparse cabin in Montana. And, of course, the motivation was allegedly his hatred of the modern world and technology. Three people were killed. 23 others were wounded. He was serving 8 life sentences for these bombs. He died, and then we learned about a day later that suicide, 81 years old. At first, I thought it might be natural causes because they had transferred him from a federal prison in Colorado to like a medical federal medical facility. And I thought maybe because he was going downhill, but they're now saying he killed himself.
He had late stage cancer.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, maybe so, that's why he killed himself.
And he sent the bombs to either university professors or airline executives.
I just learned, hence the name Unabomber.
That's right.
For university airlines.
Yeah.
And right.
So we're going to talk now with
Jonathan Epstein.
Yes, we're going to talk with Jonathan Epstein.
His father was one of the victims. His father did survive the bombing, but it was atrocious. His father was Dr. Charles Epstein, a University of California at San Francisco geneticist.
All right, let's get Jonathan Epstein on. Jonathan, thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, one of the things I just read in the story about you, Jonathan, is you were hoping that that was your last interview you were going to do about this, but you agreed to come on our show. We appreciate that.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. That statement was a little premature, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's been interest in this for almost 30 years now, ever since the world became aware of the Unabomber. And actually, his bombings go back, what, about 45 years. So you've been living with this, you know, a big percentage of your life. Did you have a particular reaction when you heard he was dead?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, I initially felt glad about the news. It's not great when anyone dies in general, but, you know, my hope was, and what prompted my statement about interviews, is that we'd finally be able to put this chapter of our lives to a close. It's been a while. It's been 30 years. My father was the age I am now when this happened.
Yeah, let's talk about that. And your father, of course, has since passed away, but he did survive this bombing. What did he do at UCSF?
So my father was head of human genetics. He started out his career bringing healthcare out to rural areas, in particular the amniocentesis procedure, which was new at the time. But he ended up developing a specialty in Down syndrome and really trying to understand how having an extra chromosome manifested the way it did. And as part of that, instituted the first people that did genetic counseling who helped parents that had or were would potentially have children that had, not the normal set of chromosomes and help them get through that experience.
It sounds like he was doing remarkable research. The Unabomber picking out your father, I mean, it puzzles you too, right?
Yeah, I think, he was mentioned in, and my father was, used a lot as a source, and so he was quoted in a New York Times a story. I'm not sure what that story it was. It might have been about genetic engineering, which was something very new that he had nothing to do with this. So we always felt that, since he hadn't done his homework, if he was trying to achieve the objectives he had stated in his manifesto, he picked a guy that was focused on doing good with science and also bringing the benefits of science and technology to the full population, not just the elites.
What happened to your dad the day he got this bomb?
Yeah, so he was alone at home. I think my sister had brought in the package, and he opened it up, and it blew up. The bomb was designed to maim, not kill, for which we're, fortunate, relatively, I guess. He had thick glasses on, so it probably saved his eyesight. He lost fingers. He had a lot of internal injuries, essentially opened it at kind of waist level. And we know this by tracking the blood trail, he stumbled out of the kitchen, but it went the wrong way, and then went out of the front door of the house, fell down in our driveway, and the neighbors had heard the blast, and they came. And
Did he have long-term health problems because of the blast outside of the missing fingers?
I think, he lost some of his hearing. He had a lot of pain from the internal injuries over time. But I do feel that it took years to get his hands back in shape. But, by the end of his life, I think he was, other than missing some hearing and not having some fingers, which isn't great when you're a cellist, he was able to live a full life.
Now, were you and your family aware of the Unabomber? I mean, the attack on your father happened a bit late in his bombing history, 1993, and he was arrested a couple of years later. Were you aware of him being out there?
I was not. I'd never heard of the guy before, and my father was the first in what became the new string of bombings. So it really had no historical context, had never heard of that name until the FBI came calling to the house and clued us in that this might be the...
Yeah, he took some time off, Kaczynski did, from doing this, as I recall, and then there was a string of them later before they caught up and arrested him.
That's right.
Did you read his manifesto? Because that consumed the whole nation when it was published in the New York Times, I think. And that's what led to his capture.
Yeah, he had a distinctive writing style, to say the least. I read some of it. I have not read the full manifesto.
How did your father feel about, catching Kaczynski and the punishment and all that?
I never really got my father's viewpoint on it. Obviously, they were glad he caught him, they caught Kaczynski. My mother was, very, obviously, and rightfully upset and angry about the whole thing. And she was upset that he pleaded out. She wanted him to be confronted in court by, the results of his actions and felt he took the easy way out, as he may have just done so by committing suicide.
Yeah. We appreciate you talking about your dad. I see here also in the story we're looking at that you don't want your father to be remembered as a Unabomber victim. You want him to be remembered for what he did for science.
Yeah, it was always this kind of dual-edged sword. I think, you know, it was hard for him not to be identified in that way because he was a victim, and it was a pretty small group of people, and he was fortunate to survive. But my father was very, you know, one of the top geneticists in the country. He went on to be the initial scientific advisor and later the chairman of the board of trustees for the Buck Institute, which is a leading institute focused on age research or aging research and why getting old does what it does to us, because there was a connection between Down syndrome and aging. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, he was very accomplished. He had more than 500 scientific papers to his name. And, you know, ultimately that and the books he wrote on medicine, that we hope will be his legacy.
And was he able to continue a lot of his work after the bombing?
He did after a while. After, you know, a couple of years of recuperating, he went back to his lab, and he actually was able to play the cello again, you know, on a personal life basis. They made special bows for him that he could hold despite his missing appendages. But yeah, he went full long into research. And if anything, you know, when this happened, he was 59, my age, and was at a point in his career where he's, you know, kind of wondering, hey, what's this all been for? When the one perhaps silver lining, if that's even a real thing in this case, of the incident was that he got thousands of letters from people whose lives he had positively impacted by his work in genetics and genetic counseling. And I think that fueled him to do, you know, another 10 years.
Most people never get that, nothing even close to it. Well, listen, thank you very much for coming on with us and talking about your father and talking about that terrible time. People shouldn't forget, you know, the victims in these cases. Jonathan Epstein, he's the son of the UC San Francisco geneticist Dr. Charles Epstein, one of the Unabomber victims. He survived the mail bomb that exploded.
Just a geneticist who's doing great work on Down syndrome, and that's why the wild, crazy guy Kaczynski sometimes didn't. Obviously, what he was doing was wild and crazy, but even picking some of his victims just seemed really remarkably weird.
You know, there's a TV reporter quoted in a story who covered the court case at the time, and he would look at us sitting there and nod and smile, almost like we were going to have coffee with him that day. He was just, you know, he was extremely mentally ill with this bizarre obsession.
All right, we got a little bit more coming up next on Kaczynski. He was at one time sort of a professor at UC Berkeley, and his students, most of them didn't remember him because he didn't like to talk to people. Obviously, he hated humanity. So we'll talk a little bit more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio 1 till 4 after 4 o'clock. What'd you miss? Go to the iHeart app for the John and Ken podcast. And, you know, one adds to the other. You do the radio show, whatever you missed, you do the podcast.
All right. Well, the Unabomber is dead. He apparently killed himself in a federal medical type prison back east at the age of 81. John said he had late stage cancer of some kind.
Yeah.
Ted Kaczynski came from Chicago, but he does have ties to the West Coast. He was obviously a math whiz, and he got a scholarship at Harvard. At 16, he went to Harvard, and then from there, he moved to the University of Michigan for an advanced degree in math. And then in 1962, he eventually landed as an assistant math professor at UC Berkeley. He was just 25 years old and on a tenure track already. Now, you had mentioned earlier that one of the reasons they were able to nab the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, is because the New York Times published his manifesto. It was his brother, David Kaczynski, who recognized the work of his own brother and basically turned him in. And that's how they tracked Ted Kaczynski down and arrested him back then. There's a few memories that people came up with, but when he was a math professor at UC Berkeley, a lot of people could not remember him because he was antisocial. He didn't really want to relate to people or to anyone else. In fact, the guy that ran the department at the time had no recollection of Kaczynski being a professor there. He was just very withdrawn. He lived in a cottage behind a main residence in a quiet residential neighborhood and pretty much kept to himself. Even students complained he would not answer questions.
He just read out of the textbook.
Imagine a professor that doesn't answer questions. And the idea is for, you know, students to be very inquisitive and to ask you a bunch of questions to further their learning. It's like, no, I didn't want to answer questions.
Now that I've had three sons go through college, you have no idea how many freaks are college professors. Like out and out weirdos. And because I've seen some videos of them teaching.
Right.
And I've heard the stories. And these are a lot of maladjusted social outcasts who really could not exist in the real world. But they have their one little genius niche that they are obsessed with and they can pontificate on. But no, that whole world is scary. It really is. And Kaczynski is one of the scary ones. The thing that was most fascinating, and I remember reading a book on Kaczynski, and this popped out in one of the news stories this weekend. When he was, at Harvard, he was part of a psychological experiment run by a professor, Henry Murray. Murray was later accused of running what amounted to a cruel human experiment on young adults. His goal was to subject them to extreme stress to see how people responded to trauma. So Kaczynski spent 200 hours in the experiment absorbing all this verbal abuse. The verbal abuse focused on each subject's weaknesses and triggers. And then you'd have to watch yourself being berated. And he spent 200 hours. I don't know if that had any effect on his behavior.
Right.
Gave him some kind of a breakdown. There's a great example. Who the hell would think of that?
Yeah.
And then carry it out.
He eventually leaves Berkeley and he moves back home with his parents for a while in Illinois. But as we now know, he ended up in a cabin in Montana. And that's where they caught him in 1996. He struck California several times with bombs. In fact, they did think he had some kind of ties to UC Berkeley because there were two bombs detonated in a place called Corey Hall at Berkeley, the only location the Unabomber hit twice. And one of them was an electrical engineering professor who in 1982 picked up an item that looked like a tool in the break room. It was a pipe bomb. He got wounded in the face with shrapnel. He did recover. And then in May of 85, a graduate student went to open a package left in the computer lab. That caused severe damage to the man's hand and arm. So between 1978 and 1995, Kaczynski targeted California four times, twice at Corey Hall and twice in Sacramento, killing a computer store owner and a timber industry lobbyist. You can really see it was really all over the place with his targets.
Yeah,
a computer store owner? I mean, really? Not that any of this is right, but it's like the bizarre madness that overtook him.
Yeah. He lived in a cabin. It was 10 feet by 14 feet.
Plywood and tar paper, right?
Yeah. Filled with journals, a diary written in code, explosive ingredients, two bombs, and he hated that people thought he was mentally ill, and he refused to let his lawyers defend him with an insanity defense. He eventually pleaded guilty rather than plead insanity.
Because with his philosophical take on what was happening to the world, he's not insane. We are.
Yeah. No, he thought he was right. He thought technology was destroying the world.
Yep.
And destroying humanity.
There was another story I read. He was corresponding with a man who wrote books. I don't know, they were travel books or something. But he asked a lot of questions about where can he find the most remote place. Mm. You know, ultimately, that's what he wanted. And didn't his brother also live like in a ditch for a while or a bunker?
He lived, yes, underground in a bunker with a storm door as his roof. And he would pop open the storm door to climb out. And he was living there at the same time that his brother is living in a cabin in Montana.
In Montana, right, yeah. that's score one for genetics and running in the family.
Polish immigrant parents.
The answer was three. three people picked the Unabomber to die in the John and Ken 2023 Google poll.
Good one.
Three people did remember that he was out there and he could die this year, and he did. More coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claims for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Well, tonight, Fox News is scheduled to air its entirety the interview that Sean Hannity did with Dippity Doo. I've decided this is another tactic of Gavin Newsom's, along with the whole mystery of whether or not he's running for president. We've been through that before, but he wants to be the one that's different on his side of the party or the aisle. He wants to challenge. It's cool that he goes on Twitter and picks on Ron DeSantis in Florida.
Yeah. He's not spending much time on California's disaster, is he? I mean, he's like Garcetti. Garcetti was
a lame duck,
done
right?
After the first term. Yeah, I know. He just got reelected, though.
So what? He's done being governor of California. There's bigger things ahead.
Yeah. Like Garcetti, there's not.
But yeah, it'd be funny if Newsom ends up with some ambassador nomination.
Yeah. The thing is, he's posturing. He is just bellowing. But there's not a lot of content, and it's easy to pop his balloon. Because he's not a good debater at all. He's not good at defending himself. A lot of this is indefensible, what he has in California. He just likes to shout slogans. He likes to shout like some aggressive attack and generally run and hide. It's easy to do that on Twitter. We could all do that. But if you really have a solid record of accomplishment and a solid set of beliefs that are correct, you wouldn't behave the way he behaves.
Well, we'll be at the Newsom is maybe running for president desk at 2:05. They did release some preview clips to try to generate excitement for the full airing of the interview. It was recorded over the weekend, I think, in Sacramento. So we'll play some of them. They deal with Biden's mental capacity and Newsom's relationship with Trump. And then the whole Ron DeSantis and the migrant flight thing. We'll get to that after the news at 2:00. There should be some good stuff in there. Now, John had mentioned this story on Friday, so we did some digging over the weekend. And yes, it is real. Whether or not it's carried out is still uncertain, but there is a plan in Ireland to cut back on 200,000 cows. 200,000 cows to help them meet their climate goals.
There is an obsession among these religious fanatics with the farts of cows, with the methane that comes out of cows. You know, we all blow out a little methane every day. It's just a natural byproduct of the digestive system in mammals. Mm-hmm. But because cows live outdoors and they eat all day,
yeah,
they pass gas all day.
And they belch.
And they belch.
Don't forget cow burps.
Cow burps, cow farts, all the gases coming out of the cow, they claim, and I don't even believe this. I've decided that I believe almost nothing anymore. The idea that the cows are a big driver of their climate war, their global warming obsession, is getting a little nuts. They'd like to turn the world vegan. No, easy there. No, they really would.
And that's an important distinction because that includes dairy. In fact, I remember growing up and hearing that people loved Irish butter. They thought, and apparently it's become very good in the last 10 years. Butter from Ireland. Do you ever see the products in stores?
Yes.
So it's not just about eating the meat. It's about the dairy products, too.
They want the cows not to exist.
Butter and ice cream.
You know, all these cows were conceived for the purposes of food, right? So they want them not to exist. And because, right, they can't exist because if they did, they'd keep farting, correct? I mean, they have to eat what they eat.
Well,
you can't give them a diet that wouldn't lead to farting and methane.
This comes from the Irish agriculture minister. In fact, John, I'm looking at agweb.com for the latest on this. His name is Charlie McConnell. And he said that they're looking into ways to reduce methane emissions, including the 200,000 cows over the next 3 years. Now, this would not be mandatory. It will be voluntary. They're actually calling it a retirement exit scheme for aging farmers.
Okay, but what happens when...
Now, the farmer gets to retire, but the cow retires a different way.
Yeah, that's really fair.
But what happens when they don't meet their goals?
Ah.
See, this is incrementalism. Trust me. What they want is to eliminate the dairy and meat cow species. That's what they want to do.
Why would the agriculture minister, though, in Ireland want to do that? Because that's kind of what he's probably been tied up in all his life.
Because he's a progressive kook.
Is he? I don't know anything about him.
If he's behind this, he is. His work is self-explanatory. If you're trying to cull cows because you think cows in Ireland have something to do with your global warming, by definition, you're a lunatic.
Here's where it came from. The European Green Deal. 27 countries who signed on agreed to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by at least 55% by 2030, which isn't that far away. So I guess somebody in Ireland said, how are we going to do this? Well, we've got a lot of ag. So maybe our way of doing this, right, you know, versus people in cars.
The premise is stupid. 55% by 2030. Why that percentage? Why that year? Why do you want to change people's life? How much is European cows adding to global warming?
Oh, they're not.
Zero. No. For practical terms, zero.
So and they're only talking about culling the herd 10% a year.
Okay. That's going to have no effect on the climate. This is what I'm saying. This is like religious rituals where you watch weird little tribes go through strange little rituals, right? They wear strange clothes. They wear strange things on their heads. They chant weird prayers. They go through weird dances and they march around their churches and temples, whatever. And the whole thing really looks ludicrous if you're not in the cult. The whole thing is just absurd. What are you doing? What's the point of this? What effect is this having on anybody? Nothing. There's no effect.
No.
And that's what this is. And I'm telling you, it is one of the defining things about humanity in this era is that old-fashioned organized church, which is a lot of it's pretty nuts to begin with, is fading away. But because human beings need to believe in something, they need to have like some sort of spiritual order to their lives, they are now worshiping the planet. And so the way old religions wanted to honor God with their strange rituals, now we are honoring the planet with our strange rituals. It's exactly the same type of behavior. It's just aimed in a different direction. Rather than God sitting in another dimension somewhere, we're aiming it at the upper atmosphere.
So they claim that the agricultural sector of Ireland accounts for 38% of that nation's greenhouse gas emissions. I don't know who does this measurement.
Yeah, who knows if these numbers are true?
And it's the methane. It's also nitrous oxide from the use of nitrogen fertilizer and manure management is part of this. Methane gas from livestock contributes to a major portion of the world greenhouse gases. Methane supposedly accounts for 44% of total livestock emissions.
But that's how you grow food, is with the fertilizer.
Well, now you're back to where you started. They don't want you to eat that food.
They don't want you to be alive.
Well, they...
No, seriously.
I'm alive.
Huh?
I'm alive and well. Thank you very much.
I'm very noisy.
Now, PETA agrees with that. PETA says that everyone should start taking personal responsibility by saving the planet by going vegan. That's their position. That's PETA, though. They're very upset with this plan. Although, there's a woman from the Green Party in Ireland says, well, what we're really talking about is dairy farmers not restocking. In other words, they won't add cows at the same level they were before. Cows will be retired, and they won't die, but you don't add new ones. So that's how the cull occurs.
I know, but it drives up the price of meat.
Oh, and people still want the meat and the milk, and the butter?
And then what?
And then people can't afford it.
So then they have alternatives, or they eat less.
There are no alternatives.
There are.
Mm-mm. No.
There are. There are avocados and fava beans.
No.
Absolutely. Garbanzo beans. There's plenty to eat. That's
kale.
A decision, right? I mean, look, if you want it bad enough, then you're going to pay the higher price.
Why should meat eaters be punished with this manipulation?
I don't have an answer for that. Well, I don't have one that I want to say.
You jumped in. I gave you the floor, and you just.
I'm taking the fifth.
Okay. All right. Must be something awfully rude.
All right. When we come back, the other side of this, the attempt at getting people to eat meat alternatives, you won't believe how much this has colossally collapsed. We're talking about some of the purveyors like Beyond Meat. We'll tell you that story coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Yeah, we're on from 1 to 4. And if you miss anything, you can pick it up. You check out the on-demand podcast at KFIAM640.com or the iHeartRadio app. And leading off the 2 o'clock hour, we'll drag out one of the latest desks we have. Gavin Newsom is running for president, is maybe running for president, or is not running for president. Take your pick. He made a big appearance sitting down with the enemy, I guess, Sean Hannity of Fox News.
He's so brave.
An in-depth interview.
So brave, so courageous.
Yeah, he wants to show you. He'll walk right into the lion's den, and he'll take him on, John.
Right.
We've got to organize. What does it say in this clip we have in the desk? From the bottom up, not the top down.
Because Sean Hannity is so frightening. Wow.
We'll see if he uses any. What we have are clips. They're just short
promotional clips.
Yeah, the whole interview runs tonight, and we'll probably have more tomorrow to choose from. But we do have a few about Biden. We have one about Biden. We have one about, and we mentioned this a few weeks ago. Newsom likes to brag about how great a relationship he had with Trump when Trump was president. And then the last one is about, of course, the migrant flights by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
Maybe
El Segundo Times also did a story on that over the weekend, which is worth talking about, too, next hour.
Maybe egomaniacs just have a natural affinity for each other.
That could be. Trump and Newsom, yeah. Yeah, I think, well, like you said, they both wanted something, right?
Yeah, it was
especially Newsom wanted money from the federal government. It was over the fires when Trump came out here a few years back. So they both could look good to use each other. We were talking in the last segment about a plan in Ireland to cut back on the dairy cow population in that nation to do something about climate change. 4 years ago, it was a company called Beyond Meat. Remember the two biggies, Beyond Meat and Impossible? I actually saw a commercial yesterday for Impossible. I hadn't seen one in years. I was like, wow, they're trying to make a comeback? There was just wild interest in these two meat alternative producers. the idea that you could get all the flavor of a hamburger, but without the beef and the bad health effects of eating beef.
There's not bad health effects of eating beef.
How they marketed
it. But that was lies. Everything about this product is lies. It didn't taste like beef. It doesn't have the nutrition of beef. Beef is not bad for you. It's just one lie on top of another on top of another. And this stuff takes root in people's
heads. Why do so many doctors say not to eat a lot of red meat?
A lot.
Well, okay, but do. You eat it every single day. Isn't that a lot?
I don't think it is a lot. What's the definition of a lot?
Every day.
Why? Why is that?
Doctors say. Studies show maybe once a week. That's
once a week?
Yes. Not 7 days a week.
It's her plan to get you down to once a week.
Is it possible? My ancestors came out of the Polish caves. Mm-hmm. And most of my family lived long. We've got good genetics when it comes to longevity. It's possible that my tribe, my breed, evolved to tolerate meat. Mm. Because there was a lot of meat eaters in my family.
Anything's possible.
Do you have your appendix, John?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there you go.
I have my appendix as well.
Well, the appendix was used by the cavemen to digest raw meat.
Is that right?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
That's
Eric,
why.
Eric, turn off your own mic.
No. That's why we have an appendix.
I didn't know they ever found the reason for an appendix.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there. Take that.
So if we all have appendixes, that takes care of the meat? Is that what
I bet it probably helps.
No, I'm being serious, is that I think different, let's say, ethnic groups, they evolved based on what was available to eat where their tribe formed. And I think in Poland, there was always a lot of farming going on, and that would be the main source of protein.
So you think there's something with Polish genetics that they can tolerate more meat and not get the really... But then you're sort of admitting there can be bad health effects from eating a lot of meat.
It's the old cliche.
You're just saying the Polish may have carved out a...
If anything is eaten to excess... anything can cause.
I know. Then you two debated what is excess. She says eating meat every day.
Come on, Ken. 7 days a week. I mean,
I think he only eats two meals a day. Am I right? Well, you have a bagel in the morning, so I don't know what that. That's not meat. So
yeah, usually just once a day, and it fills me up for hours. I can't.
But you only eat meat once a day.
Most of the time.
Oh, then that's not excessive.
Sometimes twice.
7 days a week.
Six.
Yeah,
days.
But once a day is not.
But that, my son is heavily into nutrition because he's an athlete, and he says beef has all kinds of micronutrients that you can't get from other protein-rich foods. And it's actually good for your health to have all these other micronutrients in there.
Well, now here's one thing we all agree on, that this idea of these meat substitutes was atrocious, and now... The failure is cataclysmic. Let me just read you this. Beyond Meat went public in 2019. At the time, the company was worth more than $14 billion. Do you know how much it was worth on Friday?
How much?
$827 million. That is a 95% collapse.
Because whatever they were serving tasted terrible. Now, you never touched those fake meats. No.
I did. I went to Carl's Jr. and had one of them. I think it was Beyond Meat.
Did it suck?
It did not suck, but it was not impressive. Yeah. And I said I'd rather stick with a regular burger. It just didn't really... There was something kind of slimy about it.
Ew.
And then I think that's the one that has the peas in it, mashed peas and stuff. And I mean, it didn't taste really bad. It just did not motivate me. And I say this a lot about restaurants. Oh, you want to come back here? You don't want to come back here? Or are you neutral? And in that case, I was like, I'm not coming back for this. It was just...
Well, you're not alone.
Not a motivator.
Beyond Meat, its shares have fallen 95% over the last 4 years.
Now,
nobody wants to bet any money on this because the product sucks.
And they talked to an agricultural economics professor at UC Davis who says part of the problem here is the way that they marketed this like it was going to cure all. That, and this is what you mocked when I first talked about this a few minutes ago, that they were trying to tell people, you can get all the flavor and joy of eating meat without the harmful effects of eating meat. And he said they oversold it. They really gave people a bag of crap. Oh, here it is, Deborah Mark. Americans eat about three burgers a week.
three.
Right. John's, okay, that's, John's above the average.
Exactly. Three times a week versus six or seven. That's a big difference.
I'm above average in many ways, not just my median.
Okay.
But this is one hysterical blog post from 2019. Americans eat three burgers a week, about. But if they switched just one of those beef burgers to a Beyond Burger for a year, that's like taking, this is too funny, that's like taking 12 million cars off the road for an entire year. The company wrote that in a blog post in 2019. Because again, part of this was also about saving the planet because beef uses water,
see,
and energy. And
those things are
and
silly.
There's the methane.
I don't believe that. I think they made up that statistic. That makes no sense. Why would it? That's absurd.
Well, and I think they mean all Americans. So all the Americans that eat about three burgers a week, if they cut back to two, it couldn't be one American who cuts back to two burgers.
If we can just completely change humanity.
Try a quinoa burger.
When I understand what quinoa is, I honestly don't really
get. I had a quinoa salad yesterday. It's delicious. It's full of protein. It's like a grain, but it has a lot of protein. And oh my gosh, if you have fried quinoa, it tastes so good. But I have had quinoa burgers because I don't eat the fake meat. And no, it doesn't taste like a burger because I don't want the taste of a burger, but it's amazing. And you get a lot of protein.
So don't call it a burger.
What, yeah, why do they insist on calling it
just
a burger?
Like, okay, we're going to go back to the coconut
well,
milk,
be in that
soy
shape,
milk,
and they,
almond milk.
They put it on the grill. It's in the shape of a burger, so it has kind of that whole...
Yeah, no, they're trying to fool people. That's what they're trying to do.
I've been disappointed by most alternative burgers and veggie burgers. The only good one I ever had, and I've mentioned this before, is Houston's restaurant had one, and I forget what they put in it, but it had that grilled charred flavor, too, which is what made it extraordinary.
I'm not interested in this. I'm not interested in taking 12 million cars off the road. Really. I want to live my life. I don't think they understand how burned out most people are by this stuff. It's just...
All right. Speaking of burned out, we'll be at the Gavin Newsom is maybe sort of possibly running for president desk. He did do this interview with Fox News' Sean Hannity. We have some preview clips. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.